Almost forgot to hit record. Now I did. Hope you enjoyed the study of Psalm 1. Got something out of that. Spending the time planted in one text for a while. This morning, we're getting a new text. I think it's going to take at least this month. We'll see how long it goes. We're going to be in John chapter 10. Primarily the first half of John chapter 10. This is a text that I don't think gets as much attention as it deserves. It is one of my favorite chapters in the Gospels because it has a nice way of both reaching back and forward. John 10 is a chapter that it brings a lot of history with it. There are a lot of understood connections in John 10 that the audience would have picked up on, and we're going to try to point out some of those things. And then there are some echoes of John 10 that, especially through the rest of the book of John, but even elsewhere in the New Testament, some of these ideas keep popping up. And so when I say we're going to be planted in John 10 for a little while, that's going to involve following some of those trails. So we're going to be looking at some things, some texts that are not specifically John 10 in the process, but those are going to help us to understand some of the things going on there. Let's start off by reading through this. I don't know that we'll read through this whole thing each week. But when we're starting off trying to understand a text, it's a good idea to read it. When I'm doing papers, having my students do papers in the class, I give them a checklist on how to work through a text. Step number one is read your text. Seems obvious, but we need to know what's there. It's really easy to just pick out some phrases and find ourselves at the end of a study saying, oh, I never actually took the time to read through. So here we go. John 10, starting in verse 1. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus uses this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. A lot about sheep there. Sheep and shepherds. So we're going to be talking about sheep and shepherds a lot in upcoming weeks. That's something the Bible likes to talk about a lot, it seems like. Shepherds and sheep seem to be a big deal. I'm not sure that's something we can appreciate in the same way as the audience there may have. We don't have quite the same appreciation, maybe, for sheep. I've known some people who have owned sheep for a little while. But if you look in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, we see a lot of discussion about sheep. You see that sheep were important to the life of a lot of people in Israel. If you think about the history, this idea of shepherds, a lot of the important people in the Bible were shepherds. We think of David, of course. David was a shepherd. In fact, if you read through some of the narratives about David, you get the impression sometimes that he might have at times thought he would have preferred going back to being a shepherd instead of having to deal with all the things that came along with being king. He seemed much more willing to take care of to fight with lions and bears and wolves than he did to have to deal with his children trying to kill each other and him and try to struggle for power. Moses was a shepherd, right? After he left Pharaoh's house for a while, he had that middle portion of his life, he was a shepherd. We see Abraham taking care of flocks. We see, if we go even further back, Abel took care of the flocks and the herds and the animals. Shepherds played a lot of important roles in the history of God's people. We will be coming back to John 10. Keep a mark there. Let's go to Ezekiel 34. This is not one of the weird parts of Ezekiel, so don't worry. I'm not climbing up here this morning. We're not talking about any strange beings with multiple faces. But in Ezekiel 34, this sheep and shepherd idea gets one of its clearest expressions. It takes some of these ideas of David the shepherd and Moses the shepherd and puts that imagery on all of the leaders of Israel. And we're not going to read all through this chapter, but it starts off with a critique of the shepherds of Israel. We're going to skip the critique part. Because after the first 10 verses, it picks up on what a shepherd's supposed to look like. And it talks about God as the shepherd for the sheep. And those are some ideas that we are going to touch on coming up. about what a shepherd is supposed to look like and what a shepherd is supposed to be and how God's people are called to lead. But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. This morning, before we worry about whether we ought to be shepherds, before we worry about what it's supposed to look like to be shepherds, let's take some time to acknowledge maybe the first part of what's going on in Ezekiel 34 and in John 10. We're sheep. We are sheep. And that's not usually said as a compliment. If I sit up here and said, "You're all sheep," that has a negative connotation, especially today, right? The Bible doesn't say that as an insult. Jesus talks about his sheep in John 10. He talks about his sheep in Israel. He talks about other sheep that are going to be part of the flock. Ezekiel 34, the conclusion of this chapter makes it very clear. It says, "You are my sheep, my people, and I am your God." We are described as sheep in many places if we count ourselves among the people of God. And I think we do. And like I said, we probably don't talk about sheep as much as Israelites did, unless we're talking about the Bible. So we might not be able to appreciate some of the things about what it means to be a sheep. So let's look a little bit here. If you're going to be a sheep, if you are a sheep, and we say we are, some things we need to recognize. If we say that we are one of God's sheep, we are one of Jesus' sheep, it means we are loved. Look at the way the Bible talks about the sheep. In Ezekiel 34:11, it says, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep, and I'll look after them as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on days of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements. I will tend them in good pastures and in mountain heights." And this probably echoes some other texts that you might think of. Think of Psalm 23. Right? "Lord is my shepherd." What's he do? Leads, cares for, provides land. You might think of Luke 15, parable of the lost sheep. Right? Shepherd has 100 sheep. 99 of them are safe. 99 of them are in the pen, safe, where they're supposed to be. He goes and finds that one that matters. Not just because he wants to make that extra profit when eventually sells them, or not because he wants to make sure he can get that extra meat if they eventually butcher them. He cares for the sheep. I can't quite appreciate that love between a shepherd and a flock. I've had pets that I could appreciate. But you kind of see something extra going on here. You know, as sheep, there are some unflattering parts to that metaphor. There's a reason that they have to have all this care. Sheep aren't known for being the most intelligent creatures. And maybe we need to own that sometimes. They are known for wandering off. They're known for not wandering off because they want to get away, but they say, oh, there's something to eat. There's something to eat. There's something to eat. And you follow one step at a time, and you end up a long way from where you belong. And sheep find themselves in danger. They're not the most nimble creatures. And so it mentions when they get lost to be down in a ravine, they have a hard time getting out. And while it may not be high on my menu, there are a lot of animals that are happy to come across a lost sheep. And so when they wander off, when they get stuck, the sheep are problematic. And that's why there's a shepherd that needs to be there to love them. Say, I'm going to take care of those sheep. Even when they wander off. We see so many places in the Bible that talks about God's love for us in the same way that a shepherd loves his sheep. And so Ezekiel says, there have been people that didn't care for you. There have been people that were supposed to, and they took advantage, and they acted more like the thieves and the wild animals that they were supposed to be protecting you from, but that's not the way God works. That's not the way Jesus is going to act, is I'm going to care for them, and I'm going to call them by name, and they are going to follow me. The sheep follow the shepherd because he knows that he has their best interest at heart. He knows he cares for them. If you look in Ezekiel, if you look in John 10, if you look any place that talks about shepherds and sheep, it says the sheep follow the shepherd. It doesn't have a shepherd driving the sheep. You know who drives the sheep? You know who chases after the sheep? The butcher. The butcher chases the sheep and has to get them to go where they want to go. The shepherd says, follow. I've got something good for you. And they do. Because the shepherd loves the sheep. So if we're going to be sheep, we should know we are loved. If we're going to be sheep, Ezekiel also says, though, you need to remember you're part of a flock. That one that left the 100 needs to remember it is a part of a flock. It is part of a group in the fold. And unlike the words in John 10, which is all very positive towards the sheep, Ezekiel 34 has some criticism of the sheep as well. Verse 17 says, as for you, my flock, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you trample on the rest of the pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink on what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. He says, there is a problem with predators. You understand that. There's a problem with bad leadership. You can understand that. You know, most people, if they have somebody leading over them at one point or another, have complained about that leadership. And so when he's saying your leaders, your priests, your kings have not led you right, he says, yeah, that's right. I say, there's also a problem with the members of the flock not taking care of each other, fighting for the food, fighting for the water, pushing each other out of the way. If God loves you and me enough to make sure that an outsider is not going to cause harm to us, God loves you and me enough to make sure we're not causing harm to each other either. And so if we're going to look at what it means to be part of the flock as Jesus' sheep, we need to remember we are part of a flock. And the others around us are loved. And the others around us deserve treated as well as we do. And finally, going back to John 10, if we are going to be sheep, and the Bible says we are, we need to know that we are loved. We need to remember we are part of a flock. And we need to learn the voice of the shepherd. In John 10, it talks a lot about the voice of the shepherd. The sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. And that speaks to, as we said, the love and care of the shepherd. It also speaks to the sheep being able to recognize what's good for them. Being able to recognize who is good for them. I've read and heard accounts of people who have visited Israel and been out in some of the areas, the pasture lands, and they've seen multiple groups, multiple flocks coming and feeding in the same area. Each has their shepherd, and everything is all mixed up, and they say, how in the world do they sort this out? And then when it's time to be done, each one gives their call, and each flock just sorts it out, and they go their way, because they know who they're supposed to be following. That would be something to see. That's the idea that Jesus is talking about when he says, my sheep know my voice. There are a lot of voices out there. We can recognize that. We can understand that. We can see that there is a good shepherd. We can see that Jesus does call. But if we are going to be his sheep, we need to be able to recognize what that voice sounds like. You know, like I said, it's not an entirely flattering metaphor to be called sheep. And for all of the nice things that the Bible says about the shepherd and the sheep, we can see that sheep can be frustrating. That it can be a hard job to take care of them. I know I've mentioned a number of times one of my favorite Calvin and Hobbes strips. I think I've even put it up on a slide before. When Calvin gets lost at the zoo, and they're trying to find him, and his dad makes the comment of being a parent means wanting to hug and strangle your child at the same time. I think that fits the image of God's people as sheep sometimes. This idea that we are prone to wander, that we don't always know what's best for us, that we don't always listen to the ones who do know what's best for us. And we're going to get into some aspects of the shepherd in upcoming weeks. Things like the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. The one who knows what he's supposed to be doing and is doing what he's supposed to be doing, in danger to take care of the ones who don't seem to. It's not always a great compliment to be called sheep. But spend some time this week in John 10. Take the time. It's not a long text. We've read through it once today. Spend some time noticing the way Jesus talks about his sheep. The ones right in front of him with his 12, Israel as a whole, and the ones he hasn't even met yet. It may not be a fully flattering metaphor, but what a blessing to be one of Jesus' sheep. And that's where we're going to close today. We've got a lot more to look at this chapter. There's going to be a lot more looking backwards, a lot more looking forwards, and a lot more spending some time in the words of Jesus here. But for this morning, let's just appreciate the identity that we have as sheep, as the loved ones who are brought together to follow Jesus. If there's anything you need this morning, well, the flock's together. Let's just let us know. We care. This is family time, and we want to hold each other up. If there's anything you need this morning, please let us know. Come forward as we stand and sing.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and